came from his heart, and he rejoiced to the Lord. And while he was singing, you know, there's a lot of things. One of his lines was, we got all this stuff inside that we never say. We got all this stuff inside that we never do. God's given us visions, dreams, you know, and sometimes we run with it and sometimes we don't. I used to watch the testimony services and how many people that would sit there and not testify, and I knew that if you wake up breathing, you have a testimony. If God's in your life, you got a testimony. And in John 3 and verse 3, I'm going to start with a verse there because I've been preaching that verse for several weeks now on Facebook. And I think sometimes, I know one time, half a dozen times when I was young, I came to church and with the mental part of my mind, I wanted to give my life to God. But with the rest of me, I would leave and I would go back and I would drink and do drugs. And I mean, I was at the altar and people were praying for me and I could feel the power of God all over the outside of me, but I never invited the power of God on the inside of me until I was 30 years old in 1992 at a church down the street. I tell this story all the time, that at that church there was a few people, a handful of people, and the guy that preached that night was using John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but receive everlasting life. And most people think that the everlasting life part is when we go to heaven, that we escape going to hell, and that's part of it. But the everlasting life starts when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, when you become born again, because Jesus said right here in verse 3:3, Jesus answered and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know, that word see there means receive. It means understand, perceive. And from that point that I got born again, I started reading the Word of God. I remember meeting Brother Angelo a bunch of years at Mary's house and Ernie's house, and I was walking from my sister Peggy's house where she lived in the low-rent apartments down there where Lindsay has an apartment. And I was watching him on TV with them at Spencer, and then I seen him, and he was at their house playing pool or whatever. And I was taking a letter that I had wrote right when I got born again that I wrote one of my drug addict friends in Chicago, and I was writing, and I was taking him a letter, and he said to me, if you get one person born again from your experience with God, just one person, you have 100% increase in what God did in your life. Now, since that day, you know, 1993, whenever, it was probably 1992 in the spring or summer, and since that day, I know a bunch of people that have got born again. My sister Mary is one of them. Some nephews that I led to the Lord that got cancer. I mean, I am all the time praying or trying to do something for God. But a lot of people don't understand, and they go on. You can be a Christian and you can become born again, but once you become born again, the Spirit of God comes in your heart. And every day you get up and you say, God, here I am. I mean, I'm going to get there in a minute. Jesus' last words, Brother Angelo uses them all the time every morning. Into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord God. And, you know, the more I do that every day, the more I find myself at the right place, at the right time, trying to do what God wants me to do, whether it's in real estate, whether it's Walmart, D.C., whether it's just going to the store or eating in a restaurant. Amen? And, you know, in the beginning of this verse, we got Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees in John 3 and 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher and you come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with you. And then Jesus told him about being born again. If you've ever been in church with Brother Angelo, he tells you that he was on a date with a young lady that was born again that invited him to a Christian concert, and he didn't get born again that day, but she said, I thought you were born again. And that word stuck with him until he got born again. How many people claim to be born again right now in this room that have received Christ as their personal Savior? Amen. So my next verse is on the same page in John 3 and 16 and 17. And I already quoted one of them. For God so loved us. You know, all of us are in this world right now that he gave. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many times in a week do you guys feel like you're perishing, like things are going wrong sometimes, or I can't get to where I believe God wants me to be, or a lot of times I hear people with the financial problems. I pray on Facebook, and one of my main prayers is I call in finances from the east, west, south, and north. My mother told me there's a certain way you say east, west, south, and north, and I'm not exactly positive, but I prayed at her house one day, and I'm pretty sure however I prayed, she got a check in the mail, and it was from the way that I misquoted it. And I think God knows what I'm talking about, and anytime I've ever prayed for finances to come, even if I said east, west, south, and north, I really didn't care which way they came as long as they came. Amen? And verse 17 has always touched me. I didn't learn that until I was a Christian for years. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. How many's ever woke up feeling like you made a mistake, you sinned or whatever, and then you just felt like, man, you know, you're not even worthy of the gifts of God. You know, and I have. But you know what? The same God that forgave us and saved us that first time, he's forgiven us. The Bible says in 1 John that talks about that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? I'm going to go to Luke 23, which I'm going back. I'm going to Jesus on the cross because I'm rolling with the into your hands I commit my spirit, God. And I'm going to start at verse 35, Luke 23, verse 35. And we have Jesus on the cross. He's done been whipped. 39 stripes, save one. You know, you've heard this verse. By his stripes, we are healed. You know, we were healed, but Jesus is like, he's past tense, present tense, and future tense. Now, we're here in this body right now, but the same Jesus that took that whipping for us is for our healing right now. And this is Jesus on the cross. I'm just going to read the scene. The people stood watching, beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. They were mocking Jesus, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a saying also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And it doesn't say this guy's name, but in verse 39 is what I wanted to read, because there was two guys. And one was on the right side of Jesus, and I believe one was on the wrong side of Jesus. Now, I don't want to get my rights and left because I haven't looked this up, but one was definitely on the right side of Jesus while they were hanging there, while Jesus was dying for our sins. And it says, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Let's stop right there for a minute. He didn't care about the sins that he did. He didn't care about what had brought him to his thing. He was telling God, if he could get him out of this mess, save you and then save me too. But it wasn't to go back and do something good. It was to go back and be a criminal. Save thyself and save us. Verse 40 talks about the right side of Jesus. Or the man that I'm saying was on the right side of Jesus. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, this day you will be with me in paradise. We got two different people, two different views, two different hearts. Now, it's not that hard to see that one heart wasn't ready to meet God. He didn't fear God at all, but he was on his deathbed, you might say. And then we got the one man rebuking the other one, saying, man, we did. We deserve to be here. This man did nothing. I like to call him today, you know, if I was a lawyer, I'd be saying point A, the definition is the guy that rebuked the other guy, the malefactor. And if you watched The Passion, he's the guy that got his eye ate out when they were on the cross in the movie The Passion. But the one guy that rebuked him and admitted to Jesus and said, man, I've deserved what I've got here, and you deserved it. But he spoke to Jesus, remember me this day when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus told him, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I don't want anybody here to be in paradise tonight or in the morning, but I want you to seriously think about your heart right now. Are you all the way on the right side of Jesus today with your thoughts, with this word, with your finances, with your belief? Because see, the Bible says in Proverbs 3 and 4 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of your heart, not half of your heart, but all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. See, when I thought I was born again and just went to church because I knew I needed help, I knew I was a drug addict, I knew about God, but I walked away from him. When I was a little kid, when I was 13, I got baptized. Man, the skies opened up. The sun meant something to me. I could feel the Spirit of God dealing with me. But then a year later, I went back out into the world and said, God, I want to go hang out with my friends. I want to have some friends. I want to have some life. I want to see what life is all about. But the life of the devil took me to a drugged out, burned out, addicted state of mind. And when And every time I would think about trying to get back in God or get born again, I would hear this evil voice. I would hear this, you've gone too far, Sam. You turned your back on God when you was a kid. You knew about God, but you walked away from him, which is the biggest lie of the devil ever. Other than that, and the devil tells you he doesn't exist, and if the devil don't exist, then there must not be a God, so just do whatever you want to do. Are you on the right side of Jesus? That's my point with that one. And I believe we're all, if you're in church tonight, I believe you're on the right side of Jesus. Amen. But he said today, I mean, this guy, he couldn't wait. He needed to say what he needed to say then. Somebody's eternity, their decision with their where they're going to eternity depends on you being on the right side of Jesus. Amen. And you know, I'm speaking to this. Most everybody in here is Christians, I believe. But, you know, even being a Christian, every time I hear an altar call, and I believe that there's a little bit in me, there's some more of me that can change, there's some more in my mind that can go out, and there's more of this word that needs to get in my mind, there's some fear that, you know, I was up here in a prayer line last week, and a bunch of young babies were up here saying, I want prayer for a sound mind. I used to do a joke when I learned the verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I used to say that most of our family, we ain't got the spirit of fear, we're working on the sound mind. But when I realized that that was a promise of the living God, you don't have to say, well, my mind, I've heard this from people, well, my mind just doesn't think like that. And you got to have faith to believe in God. Yeah, you got to have faith. But whatever God's word says you can have, if it says you can be healed, I curse cancer in the name of Jesus. I curse diabetes in the name of Jesus. Even if I have it, I curse it in the name of Jesus. I take the medicine by faith, and I'm going to live as long as God wants me to live. Or 30 years ago, I was at the Honorable Dr. Buckley's live, and he told me that, well, some of these conditions from you guys, ex-drug addicts, you know, you're going to die, your liver's going to rot out. There's nothing you can do about it. And I looked him in the eye, and I didn't, his degrees didn't impress me. All I knew is that I had become born again, and that, man, why would God save me to die? And here I am 32 years later, still alive in the name of Jesus, because by his stripes I am healed. When people told me, you'll never find a house in Paris, Arkansas, there are just no houses. You'll be lucky if you make $100 a week. I thought, man, I could have stayed in Chicago. People could have got me drunk and high all of my life, and it wouldn't have cost me nothing. And now I got to come here, and I can barely make $100 a week. The first time I got a job, I had a check for $600 or $700 because they couldn't hire nobody because everybody else had worked there. And they done got fired twice, so I was like a good employee. And I was making more than $100 a week, and I was singing Jesus songs at work. There was another lady that was worshiping Satan at another machine, and they told me, man, Sam, you need to bring your Bible and start a Bible service with her. They're bringing devil Bibles over. Well, somehow God worked me and that lady right on the same machine, and I'd be singing Jesus songs, and she'd start trembling. She'd go to the bosses and tell them, me and that guy don't mix like oil and water, and she'd ask to be put away. And I didn't know she was the one bringing the devil Bible and you know, praying to the devil. But obviously, there's more power in us than there is in the devil. And obviously, there's more power in God's words than there is in sickness, in disease, and infirmities. Amen? I'm going to go to the right side of God. You know, paradise, I think God wants us to have a little bit of paradise on earth, the right kind of paradise. I believe, you know, the scripture in Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I ain't saying you can't never put yourself in a financial jam or not, but it seems like if you were in paradise with God, we're spiritually, if you were in paradise, everything we need is going to be in heaven, a new body, a new mind, streets of gold. I really don't think God would hold it against us if some of us had a little bit of gold here, a little bit of finances, a nice house. Now, I know the devil's always trying to tell us that, you know, we're never going to make it. You know, you've gone too far. You can never come to God. How many has come to God? How many has God taken farther than you ever thought you would go right now? If I left the life, this life tomorrow, God has given me more than I ever had when I was living on the streets in Chicago, when I was a bartender, drinking everything up, doing whatever I wanted. And you know, you don't have to be a drunken bum on the streets of Chicago. You can have something in your life. You don't have to be busted and disgusted and not be able to be trusted. God can trust you with a little. If you're faithful with a little, God will make you ruler over much, the Bible says. The next verse is in Luke 10. When I was putting this together, I usually mark my Bible, but I'm finding that this is all right here. Luke 10, in verse 17, well, let me start at 16. And he that hears you and hears me, and he that despises you despises me. And these are in red. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. Jesus sent some people out to do the work of God. And in verse 17, and the 70 returned again saying with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan. This is what Jesus is saying. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, and anywhere it says behold, it means listen. Take your thought processes and listen to me right now. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I rejoice that God gave me power to put the devil under my foot. I rejoice that even in accidents, my little wife got a bottle of this iced coffee, brought it home for me Wednesday. My little wife was cleaning, you know, because anybody collect baseball cards or knickknacks and everything. I collect old groceries to see how long they can stay in the refrigerator, you know, from when I used to be a wine head and a bum. And she was cleaning out the refrigerator and giving me some stuff to get rid of and throw away. And, you know, I was trying to eyeball it. I almost brought a bunch of stuff over to Brother A's house, and I thought this stuff might kill his dogs. He'll never forgive me if I kill his dogs, you know. He'll never feed me again, that's for sure. And this coffee, and she goes, are you going to drink this coffee? I go, yeah, put it back in there. She goes, well, here, take it and drink it, because she had a new bottle to go in there. And I took it to work, and I thought, man, well, I put it in the car, and then I'm at my other job, and I thought, man, that coffee is here, man. She really wanted me to drink this, and I hadn't drank no coffee, so I take it in there. And there's four or five of us, 5 minutes before we got to go to work. I go, hey, man, coffee's on me. Iced coffee's on me. And I set it there. And my buddy Joe Wooten, his daughter's a missionary. He's been here and preached and been to Africa a couple of times. Goes, man, he goes, my wife didn't get my iced coffee. And this was the first day I was going to have to go without that iced coffee. Praise God you brought that iced coffee. And he poured him a big cup of it and drank it. And I thought, man, that is miraculous, because all my wife wanted to do was get rid of it out of the fridge, because she knew I might not drink it for another year, and she'd be cleaning it again. And we all drank some coffee, and there was a little bit in that, and I drank the rest of it Saturday morning. And I thought, sometimes God shows you, like Pastor Kelly mentioned this morning, just the little things, just the little thing God has taken and used in your life to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? I went to this verse right here. This is a on the right side of God verse. See, every morning when I wake up and I start praying, and I talk to my wife and get her in prayer with me, one of us, we commit into the Lord's hands, our spirits. Now, this day we plan that he's going to use us, whether it's blessing somebody that ran out of coffee, that he'll have his coffee before he goes to work, or we're going to speak a word in season into somebody's life. And there's been a girl at work, and her boyfriend has been diagnosed with that worst kind of cancer, leukemia, and he's been in and out of the hospital. And I didn't really choose to have a story where I lost somebody to cancer or somebody in my life had died of cancer, but I just told her some things to expect. I told her there would come a time where you need to be away from work, because if this goes one way and it goes where he leaves his life, you're going to want to know that you spent time with him. But I would pray with her, and I would ask God to help her and to give her peace, because you could see how rattled people are when you think somebody that you love is going to pass away or that's that sick. And I would take authority over the cancer. Now, I don't know. She hasn't been at work for a few weeks, but I don't know how much more he is. But God puts you right next to people. And these people, I've been over there at Walmart, and I never thought I could do that job for 2 years when I started. As you know, I wanted to go to Mexico to work at where all of these places in Fort Smith that transferred to Mexico, because that was going to be a better job. But for 30-something years, I've been going to that D.C. and being a blessing and praying for people. And, man, I'll go up to people and pray in the break room. I'll go up to people and pray at work, and nobody says nothing to me. You know? Nobody, I mean, of course, I'm on second shift, and people don't even know that there is a second shift either, do they, Paul? Most smart people go to first shift, and like Paul, he's got a nice, you know, laid-back life or whatever. Well, I don't know. He's at home with his family at night. But at our house, we're second shift people. We hang out at 11 at night. People see our lights on. And they don't stay away from our house because they think we're probably on meth and to shoot them or something, because everybody else in the neighborhood is, everybody else in the hood is sleeping or something. So God's given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. And that's good, you know, because lack is an enemy in our life. Sickness is an enemy in our life. You know, not being able to hear God clearly. I mean, I think Pastor Kelly spoke it pretty much. Every day God gives us the right to make a decision, you know, in Deuteronomy, and it could be 31:19, it may be 30:19, it says, today I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And God says, and I suggest you choose life and blessings. But every day there's people all around us There's people that have left this life by their own accord that are choosing death. Every day there's people that, choose not to have God in their life or not to be born again and to go with the plans that the devil has for them. Who's on the right side of God today? Who wants to be on the right side of God every day? Amen. And I read Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Every time I've ever led to my own understanding or tried to think that, well, God will understand this. No, God don't understand it when you're living in sin without him. God don't understand it when you're failing, not doing the word of God. God will forgive you and give you grace, but he wants you to be on the right side of God. He wants you to be in the word, and he wants you to be doing the word. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing between the bones and the marrow, and is a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Everybody in here has a choice to make today. You can hear this word and say, I'm good. You know, this ain't for me. Or you can say, I need some more of God in my life. I want to always be on the right side of God. Amen? Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. God, I know I probably screwed up a half a dozen times this week. Now, this is just me talking. I don't know about anybody else. But I'm pretty sure I probably hold the record for messing up this week. So, God, forgive me. Help me, Lord. Help me not to mess up. I'm coming to you tonight. And you know, every day that I pray that prayer in the morning about into your hands, I commit my spirit. And every night I pray that prayer, the more my life has peace in it. The more my life goes at the right place at the right time, the more I meet people. Sometimes people just call me and say, hey, this person gave me your number, and they said you might be able to help me get a house. And I didn't even know those people knew my number. They gave them that number. But sometimes being at the right place at the right time is just hearing God and just not getting all worried, you know, or rattled. So in Revelation 3 and verse 20, I'm going to go at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. For 30 years, it hasn't been me that's learned to be a good Christian. It's every time somebody's told me in my life that, hey, your life's not lining up with this word, and the man's right there in front of me. If your life's not lining up with this word, you're not going to come out prosperous. You're not going to come out in the kingdom of God. You're not going to come out in heaven. Sometimes God knowed in my life that I would need a man like Brother Angelo that wasn't afraid to just tell me. You know, one time I was in this arrogant, haughty attitude like I didn't want to be here. And I was in here with the worst attitude ever because of my own miserable decisions. And he came up to me in the back and he goes, well, you got to just make up your mind. Do you want to be a man of God, or do you want to go back in the world and be a loser and be a drug addict and be a whoremonger or whatever you was? But, you know, if you're going to be a man of God, you need to make up your mind. And I said, I want to be a man of God, sir. And I was quick to repent. And every time something goes wrong in my life, I'm very quick to repent. Because, see, the Lord says who he loves, he rebukes. Amen? And corrects. Bible says it's not a pleasant thing. Correction's not pleasant. But if it's received right afterwards, it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And you know what else it brings? It brings a little stack of cash, because you won't be busted, disgusted, and be trusted because you're on the right side of God. Amen? And in verse 23 and 20, behold. Here's that word again. Behold. Pay attention. Listen. God's saying, I stand at the door and knock tonight. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him, and he with me. I think all of us want the Lord to be in our heart. And all of us want that fellowship time with God. Some of us had it this morning up here at the altar when the Holy Spirit moved, when Pastor Angelo said, if you want some alone time with God, come up here. And the few people that came up here, I watched Pastor Kelly put her hands on my wife as she was praying. I watched the Holy Spirit just flow. And I was blessed by that. I had to come up here and take over because Pastor Kelly was trying to hold her. But see, Brother Angelo prayed, whoever wanted to receive the Holy Ghost in the morning. And you know, the born-again experience is not just a one-time. Now, it's one time. See, I remember in 1992, and I came here in January, February, and I went to my first church service at Central Assembly of God, and my hands were shaking from alcoholism. And when I went into my mother's house, they had been praying there, and I went into the bathroom, and I got sick, and I don't know what I throwed up, but it looked like some kind of cancerous stuff that probably was going to kill me. But God started a deliverance with me on my way back from Chicago. And I would hear voices tell me that, once again, you've gone too far. God could never use you to speak. You could never tell anybody about God. Who would listen to you? And when I got born again, I started writing letters telling people about God. I started praying for people. You know, the devil was a liar 30 years ago when I got born again. And the devil is a liar today, telling people the same lies. You can never give up drugs. You can never give up your addictions. You can never give up. You know, I gave up a lot of demonic activity immediately. And some of it isn't like a process, like all at once, but some of it is a time by time by time. One time in communion, my hands were still shaking from being an alcoholic. Brother Angelo said, stand up, God wants to do something. And I stood up and started crying, and he came over there, and I think I was over there in front of where Mary was, and you prayed. And I felt electricity in my head, and my hands stopped shaking. The nerves were healed instantly. Now, whatever you want God to do in your life tonight, that same God is here. He's standing at the door and he's knocking. And you're saved. You're a Christian. This message is for Christians. This message is for people that's never been born again or invited Jesus Christ into their heart. But it's for Christians too, because they sing this song about more. I wasn't made to dig no grave. Angel, how does that song go? Tending a grave. So even as a Christian, we were made for more. And you might say, I want more of the Spirit of God. I want more of the knowledge of his word. Remember, unless a man becomes born again, he cannot understand, perceive, receive the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says it like this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And a translation says his way of doing business. Are you on the right side of God today? His way of doing business. And it doesn't come all at once. Some of it's a process. Some of it I knew what to do because I had been a Christian when I was young. So anybody here that thinks they need more of God or wants to be on the right side of God today, just raise your hand. I see a few people. I'm going to let Brother Angelo, he's going to help me, but if you want to come up here, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to anoint you with oil. We don't have to go into detail, but I want the opportunity to pray. And if anybody wants to receive Christ or ask Christ or renew their vows to Christ, you know how people come after a few years and they say, we're going to renew our vows. Brother Angelo did it on his 50th wedding anniversary. Now, you don't have to renew your born-again vows, but if you think you need some more power of God to help you get through, you know, this is what the Bible says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
What I'm hearing the Lord say here,